This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Tuesday morning, Ricks. We are the Junks, and we're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, go to CropMetcalf.com. Do that today. I'm Cakes, at Money Metal Cakes, where you find me on your Twitters. Please go give a follow, at Cakes Flops, on your Instagram. Joined, as always, by Jason Bishop.
Hey, boys.
Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
John Paul Flame.
Big night last night. Watched Wizards and a little Monday Night Football.
It's 364 watched, more days till JP's next birthday.
I watched four innings of the biggest dud World Series ever.
And Eric Bickle is here as well.
Good morning, Ricky.
I'm going to argue with you.
Most anticipated World Series in years and the biggest dud so far.
I'm going to argue with you.
Well, I mean
it's a dud and it's 3-0.
Yeah, there were pros, what I mean. And then there were duds.
And we didn't have much time to talk about it yesterday on our last show. But the game one was amazing with the Freddie Freeman walk-off grand slam.
Yeah, the games have been fine. It's just been the overall result. Major League Baseball was dying for this to go 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it might go 4. But anyway, you know my point.
Magic Johnson's going to be happy, though. He'll tweet about it. He'll tweet about it if his Dodgers wind up winning.
Did he have a big tweet yesterday after the game?
I don't know. I'm sure he probably did at some point.
His tweets are so great.
I mean, I would imagine he'll be in New York for game four to maybe see the Dodgers sweep the Yankees.
Right.
Guy jet sets around the world.
Well, I'm sure he will be.
His latest tweet, Dodger Nation, we're up 3-0 in the World Series. Walker Buehler's dominant pitching and Freddie Freeman's two-run home run led the Dodgers to a 4-2 victory over the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think he has some sort of AI doing this for him.
He has like a service.
Well, I think it's a new deal with my wife on her email. So if she gets an email, on top of the email is like an AI summary of the email. Awesome. If it's a long email. So I sent out an email to my kids' soccer team, right? Which is, there's 11 kids, so it's a bunch of parents. And I sent it to her just so she would have it. And I said, did you read the email I sent out? Was it a good email? And then she clicks on it, and it's just like the summary.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? Where's the email? And then it was beneath it.
Got it.
Made probably it's helpful to some extent.
Sure. Trims the fat.
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of articles, like some of high school articles and stuff now, they're being written by AI. They're very weird.
High school articles, I don't know what
like,
that means.
Like Max Preps will do an article about a recap of a game the star of a game or something. And they just pick sort of sometimes like obscure stats that they focus on. And it's just bizarre.
I'm just waiting for an AI bot to walk through that door and sit in these chairs and do the show. Like an AI version of the show.
Well, they definitely do AI friggin' DJing.
Well, that's definitely a thing.
So,
but you can't AI these amazing silly personalities.
You know what? You can't the silly personality. But I've listened to AI conversations where people will put in topics, and then they'll say they want a male host and a female host, to banter about it.
Sure.
And then 5 seconds later, you're hearing it.
Oh, don't let CK hear about that. He'll be cutting the costs left and right.
Well, they're not particularly interesting.
I understand.
Yeah.
So, Cakes, I got to give you a little credit.
I like getting credit.
Although it's still very early in the ride. But
I think my credit score is actually pretty
good. I always
said
I need to see some flashes out of your guy, Bilal Coulibaly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, last night, I put on the Wizards game. It was the fourth quarter. I didn't see the early part of the game. Bilal Coulibaly kind of impressed me.
I like that he impressed
you. Knocked down a three. He took the ball to the basket. He handled the ball. And he played great defense, which is what he's known for. He locked down Trae Young.
He held Trae Young to, 14 points?
So he was on Trae Young the whole night?
I don't know if he was on him on every possession.
Well, for the most part.
I only saw the parts of the fourth quarter because I was running around and got home like 8:30.
We had Will Dawkins on last week, and he said he always draws the opponent's
best player. I doubt they put Poole on him. I mean, Poole's not a defensive player.
He was guarding Trae Young for the most of the game.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Because he was 2-for-15, and he was 2-for-10 from
three.
But
I saw the offensive skill set much improved over last year, so I'm not sure what he finished up with.
He had 17.
17.
All right, so there you go.
I wished he had had that performance when I had money riding on him a few nights ago with Jason. Of course, he comes up, I think, 1 point short or 2 points short, of the number. So then we roll that over onto the Navy-Notre Dame game. I was like, well, I love Navy catching 14 points. I didn't realize that Navy, when they face Notre Dame, they're just going to take the ball and
Give it to Notre Dame.
I don't want this football any longer. I'm going to hand it to you, Fighting Irish. You do with it what you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lost that. And then I just said, you know what? I'm just going to end this, and I Venmo Jason $40. So we're now square.
I was hoping you'd roll it over.
There's no more outlying bets. I'm not doubling down anymore. I've learned my lesson.
Offer you another rollover on one of the Sunday games.
Officially out.
So you guys weren't glued to the Wizards game because it was similar to the Commanders game, and that it was the battle of the top two picks.
That is correct.
So you had Caleb versus Jaden on Sunday. This was Alex Saar, the number two pick.
Decidedly less exciting.
Rhys Sachet
did nothing.
Rhys Sachet was,
And again, he's young, and it's his third game?
He had a combined 11 points out of those two guys.
Right.
Yeah, I told you guys, I talked to Mike Bray a few times about Rhys Sachet. Mike Bray's now in his second season as assistant coach with the Hawks. And he says Rhys Sachet is kind of a work in progress, but he's going to be good. He just has to fill out, learn the game. And and hone some skills, but he says he's going to be a good player. He's going to take some time.
And Saar didn't have a terrible night. He wasn't great shooting. He was 3-for-11.
He's going to shoot a low percentage.
He gave you 7 and 9, and he gave you an assist, a steal, and 2 swipes, and 2 blocks.
He's going to shoot a low percentage. Just accept it.
Yeah, that's fine. He's a raw offensive player.
But I ended up sticking with them because at halftime, when I got home late, I put on the Monday Night Football game. And it was just a field goal battle in the first half. And so I put on the Wizards game at halftime, and then I just stuck with it for a while. And then I went back. You know what? Like Tomlin said, that's why he gets paid a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think the majority of people thought they should stick with Fields. It's been an upgrade with Russell Wilson for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Although they did kick a lot of field goals, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of Chris Boswell. So
they were 0-for-4 in the red zone. But you're right. I mean, they're moving the ball. And then, of course, with Jones, he's going to turn the ball over in key spots, and he did twice last night. But the Steelers' defense is just, I mean, they're holding everybody to less than 20 points, and they're getting to the quarterback. They got to Jones 4 times, hit him 12 times. He was taking some big hits when I was watching it. So I'm not surprised that he turned the ball over a couple times, but. Yeah, I mean, they're 6-2. Tomlin knows what he's doing.
No else is 6-2, Jason?
Let me guess. The Commanders.
What'd you make of it?
Yeah, what was your reaction to the Hail Mary?
Probably shocked like all of you, but you never see that. And I'm sure you guys broke it down by each minute yesterday on the show.
It was 90% of the show content yesterday.
I mean, just the incompetence of the Bears coaching staff and players, along with just, Commanders being in the right spot on that last play, was incredible. It kind of just gives a feeling for this year that might be kind of a special year, and I don't know what that means, but incredible.
Well, we said
that's all you can say is just incredible.
No, it's great.
Unexplainable.
You can't say, though, that it's a team of destiny unless they win it all. We did determine that yesterday. I do think that it might be a special year in some sense. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either. But
I mean, I think it means that they're going to have a postseason run. I think so. It would be an utter collapse to not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what happens. I don't think you should think that they're real Super Bowl contenders or anything like that. But I think they certainly have got a chance to represent in the playoffs, and then all bets are off. If you want to be optimistic, you think of like that Giants team that won a Super Bowl and they went 9-7 the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's just it was just such a strange game because of how it was played out, and then Caleb struggling mightily for most of the game, certainly in the first half. And then
came to life a little bit in the second half for sure.
Came to life, especially in the fourth quarter. Swift came to life and had a big day. And then, you know, then just to give the ball to your guard on a on the
so
1 yard line.
Beyond idiotic.
I mean,
so
what?
Dumb.
And then, of course, you know, I'm sure you guys broke it down, like I said, in those last two plays. I mean, I don't get what you're doing, allowing the Commanders to have 12 free yards to get a little closer. And then Stevenson jawing with the Commanders fans while the ball's in the air, basically. It's just, you know what? Chicago deserved to lose that game.
Absolutely.
They really did.
Thank you.
I liked watching all of the Chicago fans that were in their feels after the loss. One, the reaction to the Hail Mary and them losing the game. And then also people trying to somehow explain that Caleb Williams played better than Jaden Daniels in that game. Mm. And I was just left scratching my head.
Not even close.
What, were these people watching the same football game that we were all watching? It didn't seem like it.
I mean, he had some spectacular moves and isolated plays. But on the whole, Jaden Daniels, basically playing with a rib injury,
right,
outperformed him.
Yes.
Yes, correct. You
know. No question.
So I was very, very happy about that. You know, we saw those videos of the Bears fans. Like they were watching the game. He's doing like a barstool bit, but I don't think they were barstool guys.
Yeah.
Who were those guys?
Not sure.
Just like sitting there and just like he had like 10 guys in like leather recliners. They're all Bears fans watching the game and they're just freaking out.
Yeah. When I don't know. Lose. Maybe it was like a local Bears, like
I was thinking about.
I don't know.
I was thinking about Eric in particular of what his reaction was when it happened.
Well, the more
were you kind of in awe and just silent, or were you going nuts?
Well, no, I was on the phone with my daughter, and I was actually she and I were blaming each other because by the fourth quarter she finally wanted to watch, and so I gave her the link so she could watch. You know, it's a long story, but she's in New York; it's hard to watch the games when you're out of town. And then as soon as I gave her the link, we started losing, and I said, you know, you're bad luck, you're ruined, and I was pissed
turn
at
it
her.
Off.
Yeah. So, but we were having dialogue. She was 2 seconds ahead of me, and I said, "Don't say anything," you know. And then right before she went oop, and when she went oop, then I knew
you knew something happened.
Yeah, and then it was heaven.
But what was your reaction?
Get on Twitter.
Oh, but you weren't like jumping up and down.
I was like, I can't believe it. Yeah. Unbelievable, of course. But the more telling reaction really was, and I told these guys, is for the last 25 years, by and large, I've learned to just be dead when I watch the games. I'm not the same person I used to be. Mm-hmm. Just dead inside. Like I watch everything and I just go, yeah, typical.
Yeah.
You know? And then
that would have been one of those losses where you go,
kind of
how did we lose this game?
It would have been a tough one to swallow.
How did we lose it?
But when they, I was explaining to JP, I can't remember isolated exactly when it was, but I think they made a big play, a big conversion on fourth down with about 2 minutes to go, and then it became obvious, well, they're going to score a touchdown.
Oh, the fourth down was the P.I. The P.I. in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that.
Well, that was the fourth down. Well, so then maybe the pass to D.J. Moore.
I think it was the pass to D.J. Moore, whatever it was. And I told these guys, I haven't showed this kind of emotion in a long time. And my youngest, I think I scared her. She might have wet herself because I'm just sitting there. And then, again, I watch most games dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead inside because I'm so used to the drowning in misery. And as soon as the D.J. Moore did it, I took my hand, and I didn't even realize, you know, and I just went, bam, and I smacked my, what do they call that foot thing again?
The ottoman,
the leather ottoman. I smacked it, and I screamed the F word. First emotion, basically, I showed
when
the
Moore,
entire
when
game.
Moore caught the sideline pass.
I think that was the moment, because then it was obvious they were going to score a touchdown, and, you know, we're probably going to blow that game.
Right.
And then I was just rationalizing in my brain, listen, it's fine, it doesn't matter. You know, we're not going to win a Super Bowl. You're going to lose some games. So I was rationalizing that all in my brain,
right.
trying to process that. My daughter, who's 15, I think looked at me and was maybe afraid I was going to burn the house down. But it was just a brief moment of...
Sure.
But that shows you getting emotionally invested in the games again.
You're buying in.
Which is good.
It is good. It's a good
thing. And then just the reaction.
It almost makes you feel alive.
Yeah, it makes you feel alive. And I said again to my kids, and my wife understands it. I'm not sure that my kids understand it. I said, you understand, this changes the whole trajectory of my week.
Yeah.
Because
it really
first
does.
Of all, you have to talk about it every day.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan, now Cake's my fellow Skins fan, and we're going to, you know, baptize this week at some point.
Right.
It's just it's miserable when they lose.
I
was ready for a misery Monday. I was just ready to come out. I was like, I saw how it was unfolding. I saw them lining up for the Hail Mary.
This
I was like,
changes everything.
That's a misery Monday. It's gonna suck, but we're gonna have to just do it.
It makes everything different.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine. Did you guys take calls yesterday from the fans?
So many.
I mean,
so
many calls. I can't imagine how high those guys were.
Oh,
and
well, people are excited.
It's one of those games. Where, I mean, Bears fans, you know, if they're stupid and they say that Caleb played better than Jaden, it's one thing, but they got to want that entire staff cleaned out.
Oh, I mean.
I mean, they probably wanted that for since last year.
I don't think Eberflus survives this year. I mean, I mean, maybe if they have a winning record and grasp at a playoff spot. I mean, they're still 4-3. Like, they could still make some noise, but they're in a brutal division.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to fight through the Packers. So
the one
and the
thing
Lions
that gets me is.
And the Vikings.
And after the game, Eberflus talked about, and he's just incompetent, but he talked about how they're prepared for that. They rehearsed that. They did everything they were supposed to do, which is a complete lie.
Well, supposedly Stevenson, his job was to box out Brown.
Right. But the pass rush in general tells me Eberflus, who's a defensive guy, is stupid because I don't understand how you only rush three guys. And one guy, Tremaine Edmonds, is just, he's acting like a spy. And I don't understand why. You want Jaden Daniels to run.
Right. Does he think Jaden Daniels is going to run 70 yards for a touchdown?
So I'm not a defensive coordinator, right, obviously, but I would rush five, maybe even blitz the guy, mm-hmm, and force him to either throw the ball sooner or run.
Right.
Well, I think by the end of it, they did have four rushing, so maybe it was the spy.
Edmonds sat back there for about 7 seconds and just watched
started.
Him.
Then he started
And then
coming.
He finally decided to run and chase him a little bit, but it was pointless because, I mean, Jaden had 13 seconds to throw it.
I brought this up a few times yesterday, and Daniel Jeremiah, who was a former scout in the NFL, I believe he's with the NFL Network, could be with ESPN now, I'm not sure. He had a side-by-side picture of the coverage at the end of the first half and the coverage at the end of the second half. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Bears blew it when they conceded the 10 yards or so on the out pattern just before the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
They didn't guard the outside. Right. For some reason, at the end of the first half, they did. They had complete shell coverage. We're like, we're not going to let you throw the ball and get it out of bounds. But in the second half, they decided against it for some reason.
Well, it is.
And I do think that made a big difference. I understand that he threw it 65 yards, so they were on the 35. But the ability to run around and then throw it from behind the line of scrimmage helped him.
Yeah.
I just think it would have been a different outcome had they approached that play differently. Instead, they conceded it, and I understand Hail Mary, maybe it's 9% chance, whatever you say it is. They blew it on that play before.
Maybe they did. I'm not trying to justify them. I did see Quinn say afterwards that his whole mindset was field goal. They were trying to drive for a field goal, and it wasn't until the very end that he realized, we're just going to have to Hail Mary it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not stupid, but I mean, his idea was, let's try to get a field goal.
Yeah.
To tie it, I think it would have, right? Because they were, didn't they get a
conversion? Yeah, it was 18.
Conversion?
It was 15 to 12.
It would have been to tie it. That was the goal.
Yeah.
Not a Hail Mary.
Yeah, it was, you just kind of scratch your head. Obviously, great for the Commanders fans, but I didn't understand their mentality defensively.
Well,
I guess they basically said, you know what? This is just, it's such a long shot for the Commanders. We got to send everyone we have back. And have seven guys back there, even though one of them was late getting there.
Right, one of them was jawing with the fans.
But, you know, they were obviously in bad positions because Noah Brown was in the correct position being behind the group.
I said this 100 times yesterday. If you Google it, since in the last 10 years, Hail Marys have succeeded at the NFL level like 9% of the time. It's actually shockingly high.
Yeah.
You know, almost 10% of the time they're successful.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever it is, the best defense, I don't know what it is, they better figure it out.
And I'm sure every team's going to look at that play and go, all right, what did they do wrong that we can't do?
This is the way not to do it.
This is the way not to defend the Hail Mary. If you're the Chicago Bears, we got to make adjustments. But, yeah, it was incredible.
All right, here's your guest roster on a Tuesday show. We got Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. We'll talk NFL with him at 8. Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders is going to join us at 9 o'clock. He's taking Jonathan Allen's place as our weekly guest from the Commanders, so you don't want to miss that. It's coming up at 9, and we'll talk about the Wizards' first win with Jason Smith, Wizards analyst on Monumental Sports Network. He'll join us coming up at 9:45 here on The Fan.